Well, thank you folks for coming. I'll start in with the context of this work. So we're working in rain-fed upper Midwest cropping systems where climate change predictions are to receive more precipitation in winter and spring months and less rainfall during summer months. And we add to that predictions also for increasing frequency of heavy precipitation events so that when you do get the precipitation, it will tend to be coming more. Here we're seeing in 1, 2, and 3 inch rainfalls rather than in small amounts. So when we talk about what resilience to climate change would look like in agricultural systems in this region, water dynamics features prominently. So the ability of a soil to carry more of the winter and spring moisture further into the growing season, as well as the system to cope with intense rainfall events and to take advantage of them. We're having a look at these types of resilience questions through examining soil moisture dynamics in a long-term cropping system study. We're using the Wisconsin Integrated Cropping System Trials, which are part of the University of Wisconsin's Arlington Research Station in south central Wisconsin. It's located on a silt loam soil. It's fairly deep, well-drained, has very little slope. And these cropping system trials, the acronym WICS there I might refer to, they were established in 1990, so they're over 20 years old now. They consist of six different systems of varying complexity and intensity, from typical grain-based systems through forage systems and even into pasture. There's also a comparison of organic and conventional approaches. And I'm going to be talking here about three of those six systems. One is continuous corn. It's got standard tillage and chemical fertilization. Another system is a corn-soy rotation, also with standard chemical fertilizer and strip-tilled in alternate years, so it's a reduced tillage system. And the third is a dairy forage system with 1 year of corn followed by 3 years of alfalfa. It receives dairy manure fertilizer in the corn and the alfalfa establishment years, and it receives tillage in those 2 years also. So we have gradients of complexity and of tillage and manure organic matter input in these systems. You can rely on this color scheme. I'll keep it the same for the rest of the slides here. So what do we know about these systems already in terms of things that would be interesting for resilience? Well, one, we can talk about the soil carbon in the systems. Interestingly, on the right there, you can see all of the systems have been losing carbon over the 20 years, but the dairy forage system has lost the least soil carbon. So on the left, you can see the dairy forage system tends to have more soil organic carbon compared to the other two systems. We also know that, we're showing corn yield in the three systems of interest compared to county average there at the bottom in gray. So all of the WIC systems tend to yield quite high relative to county average, say good soil, good management, a lot of resources going into these systems. And we also see that pretty consistently the dairy forage system yields higher than the continuous corn or the corn soy system. And this is as we would expect, but it's good to see that we can really study this trend. Now for the rest, from here on out, I'm going to usually be talking just about the corn phase of the rotations as the nice common element to compare between them. So we see higher performance in the dairy forage corn, and one thing that really jumped out at us is looking at these 2 years. So the up above, we've got the last 10 years, and in that window, in 2008 we had a pretty significant flooding year, or flooding event during the growing season, and in 2012, of course, it was a quite severe drought. And in those 2 years, we really saw differentiation in yield between the three systems of interest. We see continuous corn yielding quite low relative to dairy forage, with the corn soy rotation falling in the middle. And the strength of comparison there jumped out at us, and the fact that those 2 years were in these water stress years. Now here at the top there, we've got county average again in this sort of the gray backdrop, and you see the two dips in county average yield in 2008 and 2012, the bad water stress years. What you can see in the brown graph is that not straight yield, but the yield difference between the dairy forage system and the continuous corn system. and you see this spike in 2008 and 2012. What we're getting from this type of view is that while the dairy forage system is always out-yielding continuous corn, the differentiation between those systems really is the most dramatic in these two water stress years. So the question there then is, well, is something really going on between these systems that's so significant that we see a yield difference when we're dealing with the type of water stress we expect to happen more often in the future? So we wanted to delve into what's going on behind this observation. So the hypothesis, essentially, is we have different cropping systems. We're seeing almost sort of, you could say anecdotally, differential performance under water stress. And the hypothesized sequence of events is we are developing different soil characteristics under those systems, which are leading to differential water dynamics and the differential yield. So we wanted to delve into those two middle steps and see if, put some actual data under the sort of general understanding and expectations of how the systems will behave. So we've taken a three-pronged approach to studying soil characteristics and water dynamics across these cropping systems. The first approach, this is the project of Elizabeth McNamee, one of the co-authors here. She's there in the cornfield dealing with her data logger. She's installed a whole lot of above and below ground sensors in two locations in the WICS system, one in the corn phase of the corn-soy rotation and one in the corn phase of the dairy forage rotation. And she's got a lot of data just coming in now at the end of the growing season, but what we'll talk about here is water content for those two locations. So this is soil moisture at 15 centimeters in the two systems and over the course of the growing system, growing season, and right away we see, well, there sure is a difference in soil moisture. So that would be one of the soil water dynamics features. Okay, there are differences in these systems. We see, especially there in early July, you can see this nice drawdown by the plant, but the actual water levels at 15 centimeters in the soil are certainly different from each other. Now this is a really, and the spikes, of course, are where you have rainfall and then drop off in the soil water moisture. So this is a really great thing to see. This is starting to confirm, okay, there really might be something going on. But of course, the weakness of this approach is we only have, these are expensive setups, so we only have two locations in the whole set of fields. And there certainly could be spatial variability. So we need to make sure this isn't just a fluke of where we place the sensors. So to add to this study, we have another approach set. There is Paige Lyon, the research experience for undergraduate student who was working with me this summer. And we took the approach with her of doing surface 0 to 12 centimeter volumetric water content measurements all up and down the field. So basically walking up and down the cornfield a lot of times over the course of the season, doing water content measurements to see if they bear out what we saw with our two sensors. So here we can cover a lot more samples, a lot of replication, and we can also include the continuous corn system that we weren't able to put a sensor in. So what we find with this study is, in fact, it does bear out what we're seeing with the installed sensors. Here again, the purple dots are dairy forage system, the blue dots are the corn soy system, and by and large, we see higher moisture content on any given day in the dairy forage system than the corn soy rotation. You can add in the continuous corn here too, and we see generally the same trend. It usually has a lower soil moisture than the dairy forage system. Differentiation or the pattern between corn soy and continuous corn isn't quite as clear, but that sort of top and bottom level differentiation is looking fairly well supported by this. So we're seeing nice observational, you know, the soil moisture, there are differences. So we've got different soil moisture dynamics going on, but we want to make sure that at least part of that is in fact due to changes in soil physical properties and not just something else going on in the system with the plants. I should say these are the same variety of corn, they've got the same planting date, everything should be very similar between the two, or the three systems. But we do want to make sure that it's actually due to soil physical properties. So we're taking a third final approach to this also, of performing laboratory analysis of soil water characteristics. So here, we're actually expanding even farther the amounts of systems we can cover, because you see out there in the field, they're actually sampling from an alfalfa plot, where we sampled from all the corn fields, as well as the alfalfa and soy, getting intact little cores that were then working with mini potentiometers and dew point potentiometer to construct soil water characteristic curves and ultimately be able to examine field capacity, the permanent wilting point, and available water capacity across systems and depths. We're sampling at multiple depths and tillage intensity in these systems. So here, this is quite preliminary data, but this is a sort of a representative set of curves from the three systems that we're studying, typical soil water characteristic curves. And you can see that there is difference between these systems. Interestingly, though, the difference is mainly in the sort of the saturated end of things. And when we look at where field capacity and the permanent wilting point fall, there's not a lot of difference that's popping up right now. So I'll get back to that in just a minute. One thing I did want to point out here, though, is that it's not so surprising that we see a difference on the sort of the saturated end of things because there are different bulk densities in these systems. When we take that into account and look at where a 10% air-filled porosity would fall, which is the point above field capacity approaching saturation where you only have 10% air-filled spaces, and above that you would start to limit plant growth due to waterlogging. So we look at where that falls, and in the dairy forage and corn soy system, it is appreciably higher than in the corn continuous corn system, meaning that those two upper systems can collect more water during heavy rainfall before they reach the point of limiting plant growth. So when we're talking about dealing with flooding situations, that can become relevant, that they can actually absorb more water before they start to become problematic for the plant. Now, to return very quickly to field capacity here. So we're a little bit surprised not to be seeing a difference because we do see differential behavior in the systems. But I think as we get deeper into this analysis, this is really preliminary, we may start to actually see differences. And that's because if we go back to this monitoring of soil moisture over time, here's where our predicted field capacity is in the gray bar. And you can see the corn soy system, those spikes later in the season, and then they drop off. So that's sort of, you had precipitation, then you have drainage down to field capacity, and then slower drawdown. That drop, it is much deeper, it's down into the 20s of soil moisture. So I think there is probably a difference in field capacity in these systems that we just aren't picking up quite yet in our early data analysis. So overall, we think we are seeing both a difference in behavior of these systems and total outcomes, as well as differences in sort of inside that hypothesis list of how the system behaves and what the soil water characteristics are. I'll finally just put this in context. This project is part of one of the USDA coordinated agriculture projects. This is a climate change mitigation and adaptation in dairy production systems in the Great Lakes region. So this is the adaptation side of a project that often we hear about, the mitigation and greenhouse gas measurements and modeling and reduction. And so I think it's always good to put research in context in talking about studying whole systems. And for instance, when we talk about manure, of course we're worried about greenhouse gases, but we're also talking about water holding and things like that. And it's good to, especially in presenting our research to farming communities, to put things in context and whole systems. So with that, I'll thank you for your attention and quickly acknowledge funding from the University of Wisconsin, the USDA, and NSF, and the special assistance of Francisco Arriaga in doing a lot of the soil water work. Thanks. That is an excellent question. We have not. We would love to do it. It's just a matter of time and resources. So.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering, what sort of sensor were you using for your soil water measurement? How did you calibrate that?
That would be a question I would have to refer to Elizabeth, who is running the equipment for that. It is measuring volumetric water content. It should be something TDR ish, but for the details we'd have to ask her, and I can put you in touch with her.
It looked a little bit like capacity.
What?
It looked a little bit like capacity.
Yeah, distinguish that. See, if you have just a nut and a new or corn and soybean have a new and the other
right.
one and the new plus L alpha,
right.
we'll be able to distinguish. Do you have any thought how does that? Which one have more effect? Is it because of the manure or because of L alpha?
Right. That's an excellent question, and I wouldn't hypothesize at right now about one or the other, but we're limited to, this is a long-term study site, and we're studying the whole system as it exists typically in practice. So we don't, in this setup, have the leisure of separating the manure and the alfalfa, but it would be a wonderful thing to look at, and I'm sure we could focus on the literature. I want to quickly say about soil structure and especially aggregation. If you're interested in more depth about soil aggregate structure in this system, go to Anna Kate's talk at 10 o'clock in 103A, where she'll go into more detail on that.
One more question. Just a quick question as a follow up to the previous questions. I'm just wondering about the other kind of the new setup you're using for determining data for soil water characteristics curve.
Yeah.
By chance calibrated or compared against soil cores and collected and then measured using the standard pressure cookers or pressure extractors, as those are standard that can give you probably maybe more the accurate
right, yeah.
standard.
Right. Not yet. We're gonna be running through samples for a good long while here, so we'll have the opportunity to calibrate against others. But just now those were sort of hot off the presses as of a week ago, so
good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.